You are listening to the 1440 Podcast. 1440 is the youth ministry of Eagle Mountain Church in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information and for more resources, visit 1440.com.
Last week, we left off the last thing I told you, and I don't want to have to work you into the place where we were when we left the sermon last week. I don't have to do that, right? Am I in 1440 tonight?
Yes.
I don't have to do a whole lot of work to get you word ready. Say, I'm ready for the word.
I'm ready for the word.
Say, I'm ready for the word.
I'm ready for the word.
Now, everybody who ain't saying it, y'all, like, for real? Seriously? All right. With one voice, loud, say, I'm ready for the word.
I'm ready for the word.
Very good. Look, I preached somewhere. I preached down at Lake Country to five different youth groups last week. And I love ministering the word of God to those students. But one of the things that's different about preaching there and preaching here is that you know how to put a demand on the word of God. You know how to receive the word of God. We don't do this lackadaisical. We're not normal youth group where the preaching part is boring and you just come to hear the music, right? Right? You're ready for greatness, and this is a time to equip you for greatness. Say, I'm ready for the word.
I'm ready for the word.
All right, last week I told you what it means or what you were originally intended to be. And the first thing we talked about is that there's no shadow of turning in God. What that means is what if God said it in his word, he has never, ever changed his mind. God does not change his mind. He's God. People change their mind, but he's God. He's God. As a matter of fact, when he was teaching about sowing and reaping, he spoke and said, "Be not deceived. God will not allow himself to be mocked." Which means you'll never catch God saying something that's not true. Never. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. You can bet your bottom dollar on it that if you sow it, you're going to reap it. It's a law. It's a law. God does not change. The Bible says there's no shadow of turning in him, which means that no matter which angle you look at God from, he's always the same. And if God said it in his word concerning you, he still intends it in his word for you today. So in Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 26, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Hang on. Let's go back. The word original is defined as present or existing from the beginning, the first or the earliest created directly and personally by a particular artist, not a copy or an imitation. That's what it means to be original. Intent is your purpose. So we're talking about God's purpose from the very beginning for you. You are not an accident. I told you this last week. God has a master plan for your life before he formed the worlds and set them into orbit. You have a design. The architect of the universe has a specific blueprint for you. It contains your purpose, what you were designed to do and accomplish, and how you are to develop into those designs. The grand master plan is the key to you stepping into greatness in 2016. That's the bottom line, grand master plan. And that grand master plan is critical for you stepping into greatness. Now, you may look at your life and say, my life has been anything and everything but great to this point. If that's you and you fall into that category, I'm so glad you're here tonight. Because I can promise you this. Number one, if your life has been anything but great, I bet at some point you've been trying to figure out how to change it. Unless you just enjoy being not great. Right? You've been trying to figure it out. The second thing I would say is, you probably haven't come up with much. Not in your own physical mind. Not in your own power. The third thing I'll tell you is the reason you haven't come up with much is because you can't change it in your own physical power. Nothing you can do to change it is going to change it. Here's the deal. If you're depressed today and tomorrow you hit the lottery, you're just going to be rich and depressed. Money won't change it. It may help you pay some people off, but it's not going to change it. If you're lonely today and tomorrow you get a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you're still going to be lonely. You're going to get tired of that person at some point. You're going to figure out that they get boogers too. He ain't quite the stud I thought he was. What is that hanging out of his nose? Girl, did you see that? It's nasty and green. Did he eat it? That's nasty. Anyway, just saying. What you will find is this. There is only one thing, one person, and one method to changing your life. Only one thing, the Word of God. Only one person, Jesus Christ. Only one method, expanding your faith to receive the implanted Word of God into your life. It's the only way for you to get into a great place, into greatness. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting verse 6 through 10. You don't even have to turn there in your Bible because I'm going to read it in a Message version and Abigail's going to put it up here on the board in the Message version. Says this, go down a little bit. Says, God's wisdom is something mysterious that goes deep into the interior of his purpose. You don't find it lying around on the surface. It's not the latest message, more like the oldest. What God determined as the way to bring out his best in us, long before we ever arrived on the scene. The experts of our day having a clue about what his eternal plan is. Does that sound like the experts of your day? Of course it does. Everybody thinks they know how to fix you, baby. Take this pill. Watch this show. Read this book. But they don't have a clue. The experts of our day having a clue about the eternal plan, about what his eternal plan is. If they had, they would not have killed the master of the God-designed life on the cross. That's why we have a scripture that says no one's ever seen or heard anything like this. Never so much as imagined anything like it. What God has arranged for those who love him. But you've seen and heard it because God, by his Spirit, has brought it all out into the open before you. I can promise you this. If you're here tonight, it's not by an accident. You didn't just stumble into 1440. If you're here tonight, you're here on purpose, and you're here for a purpose. He wants you to know what your purpose is. And he wants to give you a vision by the Holy Spirit for what he sees in you. He wants you to know how special you are and how important you are to the kingdom. The only thing that stops us from seeing the vision is our capacity to believe and to receive. Now, this is very much so review from last week. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 through 10 says this in the Message Bible. This is what God said. Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. A prophet to the nations, that's what I had in mind for you. But I said, hold it, Master God. Look at me. I don't know anything. I'm only a boy. God told me, don't say I'm only a boy. I'll tell you where to go and you'll go there. See, listen. Whether or not you go there is going to be your decision. I'll tell you where to go. And if you go there, things change. If you don't, things stay the same. I'll tell you what to say and you'll say it. Don't be afraid of a soul. I'll be right there looking after you. God's decree. God reached out, touched my mouth and said, look, I've just put my words into your mouth, hand delivered. See what I've done? I've given you a job to do among the nations and governments, a red letter day. Your job is to pull up and tear down, take apart and demolish, and start over building and planting. So what is God's intention for you? What is God's original intent? We started off in Genesis chapter 1. How many of you actually did your homework? You went and you watched the broadcast with Sister Gloria and Billy Brim. Raise your hand. All the rest of y'all get in detention. I'm going to make you stay after and clean the chapel tonight. The reason I wanted you to go and... Kelsey's like, yeah, Lord. The reason I wanted you to go and watch it is because they do a... For those of you who watched it, you can kind of amen this. They do a wonderful job at laying out something that a lot of people miss out on. Genesis 1:1 says... In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:2 says, and the earth was without form and void. Let me ask you a question. When have you ever known God to create something that was without form and void? Never. God has never created anything less than perfect. Now, hang on, we're going to let that sink in for a second. Let that sink in for a second. God has never created anything less than perfect. If you're sitting in this room and you were created by God, you're perfect. Now, a lot of people will argue with me until, like, the cows come home and be like, there ain't nobody perfect. Exactly. But the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are being made new. So if you have been made new by Christ, and Christ is in you, and you are in him, then ask yourself this question. Is there anything flawed in Jesus? Which means that if you're all the way in him, if you are totally in him, if he has totally immersed all of you, there shouldn't be anything flawed about you because you're not you anymore. You look like Jesus. If you did your homework, you found out some things about how the world got formless and void. If you didn't do your homework, you should probably go do that. You should probably definitely go do that. Genesis 1, 26 through 28, we learn this. I'm not going to read the scripture. They're going to put it up there on the board. But we learn something. First and foremost, your original intent was that you look like God. Secondly, your original intent was that you act like God. And God said, let us make man in our image and in our... Y'all can read, right? Try that one more time. And God said, let us make man in our image according to our... So if you're in his image and in his likeness, you're supposed to look like him and act like him. I'm being fair. If the Bible is where we determine whether or not we're being fair, right, about your original intent, I'm just telling you, I'm not asking you whether or not you have been looking like God and whether or not you have been acting like God. I'm just telling you what you were made to do. And if you choose not to do that, then that's your choice. But I can tell you this, it's going to be like trying to drive a nail with a shoe. It's always going to be subpar. You were created to look like God. It means you ought to be looking like God. Your original intent was for you to look like God. Your original intent was for you to act like God. Here's another one that we got to. Your original intent was to do things just like God. Now, I'm going to come back to that point. Your original intent was to exercise total dominion in the earth. God wants you to have his stuff. The Bible says that he put Adam in the garden and he told Adam that he has dominion over all the earth. Fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over it. All the earth. All the earth. All the earth. Total dominion. Now, does God ever change his mind? No. That means every last one of you in here who's about to take a final ought to have dominion over the final. You ought to go into the classroom having dominion over the final. You ought to come out of the classroom going, I just dominated that final. You can even have my stank face, like I'll let you borrow that. It's all yours. No problem. Look at Luke chapter 12, verse 31, 32. I'm going to allow you tonight. I believe we're going to look at some scriptures that may or may not make you want to run around the room. If that's the case and you feel the run come all over you, just don't knock over my water. All right? And y'all don't get distracted because you see somebody run around the room. Maybe if you caught the same revelation they caught, you'd be running too. Glory to God. If you ain't got it yet, just stay in the Bible. Just stay right there until you get it. And then you can run with them. Look at Luke chapter 12, verses 31, 32. It says this, but seek the kingdom of God and all these things, say all these things, all these things shall be added unto you. Do not fear, little flock. I want you to let this sentence get in your belly. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's, talking about God's, good pleasure to give you the kingdom. All of it. All of it. It pleases God to give you things. He is happy when he is able to bless you. And he always wants to bless you. The only thing he's waiting on is for you to put yourself in a place to be blessed. It's almost like God has a blessing portal that he is always sending blessings down. Always. Always. And as long as you stand under the portal, you get blessed. What lovely individual would ever move from the portal? Why would you ever take yourself out of the position? But the Bible says it pleases him to give you the kingdom, baby. The kingdom, the kingdom, the entire kingdom, the whole kingdom. Talking about the kingdom of heaven. If you had a choice to get the kingdom of earth or to get the kingdom of heaven, which one would you choose?
Heaven.
Well, because heaven is so much greater than getting the kingdom of heaven. If you got everything in the kingdom of heaven, then guess what? You're going to have more than what's on the kingdom of the earth, right? And it pleases God to give you the kingdom. It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so when God told Adam, have dominion over the earth, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over everything, what he was saying is, Adam, you are just like me. Hear this. Because he said, created in his image and his likeness, right? He was saying, Adam, you are just like me. I have dominion over everything you see and even everything you don't see. And you were placed on the earth to have dominion over everything, which means you need to rule over everything the way I rule over everything. You do it God's way. The last thing I told you is this. God blessed Adam and Eve. He blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. So we're going to start. I told you last week, this is where we're going to pick up. So we're picking up right here, right now. You were created to be blessed. Your original intent was that you be a carrier of blessing. Now, how many people in here think they know what it means to be blessed? Right. Raise your hand if you think you know. Raise your hand if you think you know what it is to be blessed. Some of y'all smart, like, I ain't gonna raise my hand. He finna tell us something that I ain't even much know. I'm about to shake your world with what the Bible says about what it is for you to be blessed. Now, do you think your conceptualization of blessing looks the same as what God's conceptualization of blessing is? Because God says exceedingly abundantly above all that you can or? So take whatever you're asking for, whatever you're thinking, whatever you're imagining right now, and he wants to do way more than that. But we're going to talk about what it looks like. What does it mean to be blessed? Galatians chapter 3. Go to Galatians chapter 3. And let's look at, we may not finish all of this. We may have to do something else. Galatians chapter 3, let's look at verse 13. It says this, Christ has redeemed us from the curse. Say amen.
Amen.
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Watch verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. How do you receive the promise?
Faith.
How do you receive the promise?
Faith.
How do you receive the promise?
Faith.
How do you receive the promise?
By faith.
So the only way you receive the fullness of the blessing of God is by expanding your faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. In order for me to get all that God wants to give me, I've got to stretch my faith to believe what he wants to give me. You get the promise through faith. Now, why would you need to stretch yourself to inherit the promise of God? Some of y'all are asking yourself this question. If God is so good, why doesn't he bless me? If God is so awesome, then why is he not doing good for me? If God is so amazing and eternal and I'm supposed to be following him, why am I not seeing his blessings? Let me answer that question for you. Expand your faith to believe what God wants to give you. Here's the deal. If you believe that God wants to satisfy you with long life, you'll start living as though you were going to have long life. If you believe that God is going to satisfy you with long life, you'll be a good steward of your body. Why? Well, I'm going to be in this joker for 120 years. I better get it right. You give me a brand new car, baby, I'm about to keep that joker clean. It bothers me now to ride down the road. My car ain't clean. I ride down the road, some of my children, they're like, oh, daddy, you need to do something about this. I don't like wearing dirty clothes. I don't like smelling bad. I go out of my way to smell good even when there ain't no reason to smell good. I smell like Gucci at the house watching the football game. You need to, what is Gucci? I'm going to introduce you. Don't worry about it. I got you, baby. I got you. Let me tell you something. When you realize what the exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think that God wants to bless you with, you'll take what he's already blessed you with, take care of that thing so that you give God something else to bless you, because you don't want to run the risk of taking yourself out of the method and the way and the place of the blessing.
That's good.
You figure out that God wants to bless you, you'll get in that Bible and what all does he want to give me? Let me find it. And let me live like this so that I can put myself in a place to get what he wants to give me. Look at what it says. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law having become a curse for us. Now, you need to know the definition of curse there. The definition of curse there is the consequence for disobeying the law. That's the definition of curse. But it says that Christ has redeemed us. Why? Because he became a curse for you by hanging on a tree, so that you might inherit the blessing of Abraham and have access to gaining or getting, what does it say? Go to the next verse. There you go. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The only thing stopping you from receiving it is faith. That's it. You're not cursed anymore. You're not cursed. That's why I tell you, that's why, look, God made, when God created you, he created you perfect. He created you a spirit. You're not cursed. You're not cursed. I don't care what you've done in your past. You're not cursed. You hadn't spoken. That's, look, somebody asked me, I think it might have been Rebecca. Somebody asked me, what if a house that you go in is haunted? I said, it ain't haunted when I go in. I don't play with darkness. I don't play with darkness. I don't play with spiritual forces. You got to know who I am, baby. I know who my God is, so you need to know who I am. Just saying. You're not cursed. You are not cursed. You've been redeemed from the curse and become an heir of the blessing of Abraham. Jesus' work on the cross was to get you back into a place of your original intent. Now, what is the blessing of Abraham? Go to Genesis chapter 22. We got to go back and figure out what Abraham got so we can get it. You can't be an heir of a blessing that you don't even know anything about. You walking around here worried about whether or not you can pay for spring retreat. The blessing of Abraham says you get everything you need. Watch this. Verse 17. I love this. I'm going to have to get close to you to tell you about this. Get back over in there. That's right. Stand up. Yeah, stand up so you can get it. That's good. I like that. Watch this. Blessing. This is God talking to Abraham. Blessing. I will bless you. Multiplying. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens and the sand which is on the seashore. Now, I want you to understand something about the language there. He says, blessing, I will bless you. Notice he didn't say money, I will bless you. He didn't say cars, I will bless you. He didn't say clothes, I will bless you, even though all of that is tied up in the blessing. But look at what he said. He's, matter of fact, while you're standing, come here. Come here. It would be one thing. It would be one thing if I wanted to give this brother some money. With money, I would bless him, right? But let's say I have all the means of God and I want to bless him and I want to just meet his need. Does that sound like our God?
No.
He doesn't want to just meet his need, right? Because we read that God gave dominion over everything, right? So if I was to just bless him, I would give him a little bit of money so he could pay his bill, right? But what that Bible says is with blessing, I'm going to bless him. Which means that everything contained in blessing, I'm going to bless him with. He becomes blessing. His name is now blessing. That is who he is. It's what he is. Every place he goes is now blessed. Everything that he touches is now blessed. Everything that he speaks is now blessed. Everything that he does is now blessed. And it says, multiplying, I will multiply you. Now, if all I wanted to do was multiply him a little bit, I'd be like, okay, give me a dollar and let me give you back 10, right? Because that's tenfold, or give me a dollar, let me give you 100, because that's 100-fold. But it didn't say that. It said, multiplying, I will multiply you. Which means I'm going to put the spirit of multiplication on you the same way it's on me. Which means that instead of giving him a few dollars, I'm like, there you go. everything I have is now his. Now you need pin numbers to get access to that, brother. Go on back to your seat. Multiplying, I will multiply you. Blessing, I will bless you. Which means that you, when you understand the blessing of Abraham, you understand that it's bigger than just getting stuff. It means that you now become the controller and commander of the stuff. Which means that instead of praying, God, please pay this bill, you can go, money, come now. Instead of, God, please save my school, you go into your school and say, my school is saved. Yeah. Now. Yeah. You don't walk up to people and, Lord, please heal my brain. Receive your healing now. Yeah. Why? Because you are the blessed one. Yeah. You are the blessed one. Now, this is just a small, this ain't even the good stuff. We ain't even got into, this is good. But we ain't even got into the extent of what it is. You need to but before we get into the extent of the stuff, you need to understand that you are the blessing. You become the blessing. Your DNA starts being blessed one. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Like if scientists could get into your spiritual DNA and look at it underneath a microscope, it would just spell out blessing. It would. It just spell out blessing. That's all it's a blessing over and over again. Blessing, 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 blessing. Who is this? What kind of species of a person? With blessing, you are blessed with a blessing. Everywhere you go, you're blessed. Everything you do is blessed. You are multiplied with multiplication, which means everything you touch and everything you own operates in a principle of multiplication. Now watch what it says. It says, your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all nations of the earth will be what? Now, how are they blessed? In your what? In your what? In your what? In your what?
Seed.
Interesting that the seed contains the blessing. And it's in your seed that all nations will be blessed. Now, go look at Mark chapter 4. What did I just tell you? That when you understand your blessing, that you will operate like God, right? Yeah. So when God created something, he said, let it be. So how did God mold the earth out of some dirt? No. Did God create light out of some kind of chain reaction that he put together with his fingers? What did he say? Light be. He spoke. He created with his word. When he went to go make man, he said, let us create man in our image and in our light. So speaking, 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 speaking. The blessing of Abraham is that through your seed, because you are the blessed one, through your seed, all nations of the earth will be what?
Blessed.
Now let's figure out what a seed is. It's a parable of the sower. Jesus says a sower goes to sow what?
Seed.
Right? The Bible says through your seed, all nations will be blessed. A sower in this story goes to sow what?
Seed.
The disciples come to him and say, Master, you need to explain to us this parable. Show us what it is. Y'all ain't got to keep standing up, but you can keep standing up if you want to. He explains to them, he says, explain to us this parable. Look at what Jesus says. But when he was alone, those around him, the 12, asked about the parable, and he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. What did I tell you earlier? God's not trying to hide your calling from you. He's not trying to hide his intention from you. Why? Because you're the blessed one. You're highly favored. He doesn't reveal it to everybody, but to you, he reveals the mysteries of the kingdom. And so he looks at his disciples and says, to you, it's been given to know the mystery of the kingdom. But to those who are outside, all things are in parables. Now look at verse 13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand other parables? So what he's saying is understanding this parable will help you understand all the deep things of the kingdom. All right? So if that didn't wake you up, something needs to. All right? You better get this one. If you get this one, you can get everything else. Got it? Look at verse 14. The sower sows the
word.
So what is the seed? The sower sows the
word.
So what is the seed?
The word.
Through your seed, all nations will be blessed. So in other words, through your words, all nations will be blessed. When you speak the word of God, all nations will be
blessed.
That's why you got to expand your faith to believe what God wants to do through you. All right? We're working hard trying to get you out to go out and save your community. God says, I sent you to nations because through your words, all nations, through your seed, all nations will be blessed. Now, I'm going to show you how important the word is in that blessing. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Are you getting this, or should I be teaching this to the bridge?
No.
You sure?
Yes.
This ain't too old for you, is it?
No.
All right. I just want to make sure. I want to make sure you got this. Because let me tell you something, young person. Because if you get this, you'll stop fooling around with little, small, mediocre things, and you'll realize that inside you is a seed of blessing. So when you see situations, you won't be reactionary. You'll know exactly what to do about the situation that you see. This will solve your soul issue. This will solve your emotional difficulty. This will put to an end any kind of fear, anxiety, or self-image issue you have. Because when you realize that the seed of blessing is in you and things will become what you speak them to become according to the word of God, then it's truly all you have to do is speak the word concerning a situation. If there's unrest and strife in your house, what did Jesus do to calm strife and unrest? Peace, be still. He didn't get up and touch the water. He didn't get in a fetal position, start rocking back and forth. He didn't call not one psychiatrist, not one psychologist. All he did was woke up, said, peace, be still, went back to sleep. They looked around, who is this that the wind and the waves obey this man? 1 John says, as he is, so are we in the earth. Watch this in Deuteronomy 28. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the, what's that word? Huh?
Voice.
If you can hear his voice, that means he is saying what?
Something.
Words. That means words are coming out of his mouth, right? So if you, in other words, you could read this as, and it shall come to pass if you will just keep yourself in a position to receive the word. I didn't mess with the scripture at all. I don't know about you, but whenever I hear somebody's voice, typically they're saying what? Words. Right? And it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord to observe carefully his commandments. His commandments are his word, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations. Didn't he tell Abraham through your seed all nations will be blessed? And we find out that the seed is the word of God, and he's setting you above all nations, which means in order for you to subdue nations, tear down nations, build up nations, bless nations, you are to release what? The word. You sure this ain't too deep for you?
Yes.
You sure?
Yeah.
I can preach 3 points with a bridge illustration. And y'all sure? All right. The great year, you're going to have to get your grade up. All nations of the earth, all these blessings shall come upon you, and I love this word, overtake you. Which means that all these blessings will overtake everything that's not blessing. And if you really want to get with this, in the next few verses, it talks about the curse, which means that if you hearken to the word of God, and cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, Jesus became a curse so that you can inherit these blessings. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God, the same was with God in the beginning. Later on it says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, which means that the word now has taken the place of every curse in your life, so that all the blessings that he's about to say can swallow up everything cursed in your life. Anything cursed gets swallowed by the blessing, overtaken by the blessing. Well, let's figure out what the blessing is. Pastor John, come on now. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. I want to stop right there for a second. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. Fruit is something that is produced, right? From a vine or from a tree. It's something that is produced. So in other words, blessed shall be everything that your body produces. Right? Now, people make a snap decision to think children. Well, you should, because your body, if you're female or if you're male, either, produces children. But what else does your body produce? Blood. What else? Organs. What else? Hormones. What else? Chemicals. What else? What does your body, physical, natural body, produce? Cells. Hair, nails, eyes, tears, DNA, right? Now, let's read it again. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, which means that everything, now what I just tell you, the curse, the definition of curse is a consequence of not obeying the law. Everything about the curse does not apply to you because Jesus took the place of the curse so that you could get the blessing. And the Bible says that blessed shall be everything that your body produces, which means that if you're sick and your body is showing symptoms, there's a blessing in your production of white blood cells to get rid of the sickness. If you have a blood disease, your body has to produce the blessing. If you have some kind of cellular malfunction, your body needs to produce the blessing. If there's something growing in your body that does not belong, your body produces the blessing. And what does it say about the blessings? All these blessings shall overtake you. Which means everything that is cursed is overtaken by the blessing. You want to know how I know that that's the truth? All right? I'm going to skip forward a little bit, right? Hang on. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out one way and flee from you 7 ways. The Lord will command blessing on your storehouses and everything that concerns you. That's totally blessed, right? Now watch this. But it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe fully all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you. Now let's read the curse, but I want you to read the curse differently. Because you know the curse does not apply to you, right? Because he became a curse so that you didn't have to be one. So anything that the curse says, the opposite of that is your blessing. You get that? All right, now watch. What? Let's see. Let's look at this. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall your basket and your kneading bowl be. We already know those things are blessed. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body. Our body is blessed. And the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle, and the increase of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, which means that the opposite of confusion belongs to you. You may want to read this before you take your math final. You may want to read this before you take any test in school. Because what you'll realize is that confusion is a part of the curse.
Yeah, that's right.
So if I'm confused in a subject, that's the curse. Yeah. And I can overtake the curse because I'm blessed.
Yeah.
Until you are destroyed and you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings, for you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the plague cling to you. Now, what did I just say? The fruit of your body produces everything that your body needs to repel everything that is cursed. This says that a part of the curse is that the plague would be able to cling to you, which means that if there's anything holding on to your body that does not belong in your body, it's a part of the curse, and all you have to do is speak the blessing. Y'all should have got way more happy about that. Because that's the fuel that will allow you to walk into a cancer room, lay hands on somebody, and see them heal.
Yeah.
You realize that not only does the cancer have to leave, but the cancer can't stay because you carry the blessing. I love what else it says. Look at this. It says, let's see. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with the sword, with scorching, with mildew, and they will pursue you until you perish. Which means that fever is a part of the curse, burning is a part of the curse, inflammation is a part of the curse, and anything that grows on my body that does not belong is a part of the curse. And my blessing says that I overtake everything that is a part of the curse. You got this? This is your original intent. This is your original intent. Your original intent was not for you to go through your teenage years known as the silly teenager. Your original intent was for you to realize who you are in the kingdom and start operating in it. What if you started operating like this? What if when you woke up in the morning, and there were thoughts in your mind that were not a part of the blessing but a part of the curse? Instead of you talking, needing to pick up your phone and text your friend, you picked up your Bible and looked at what Jesus done already text to you. What if? And you put your thoughts here instead of putting your thoughts somewhere else. You see, the study of what is in your original intent, what you were originally intended to do, will take you away from everything that is cursed and propel you toward the blessing. Why? Because you were originally intended to be blessed, baby. That's why the Bible calls you a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own chosen people, to be called out of darkness into marvelous light. Out of darkness. Out of darkness. Out of darkness. Is there anything dark in your life? The blessing is light. Is there anything rotting in your life? The blessing is life. Say this after me. Say, I.
I.
Really?
I.
Say this after me. Say, I.
I.
Walk.
Walk.
In the blessing.
In the blessing.
I was made. For blessing.
For blessing.
I was created.
I was created.
to carry the blessing.
Everybody around me
is blessed
because I'm blessed.
Look at the person next to you and say, look, you sit next to blessing. Now look at the next person and say, you're sitting next to blessing.
I'm going to tell you a quick story and then we're going to leave. Because I know, right? It's kind of crazy. Listen to this. There was a man that I know who was on an airplane, and the airplanes got into trouble. He's an evangelist. He travels and preaches, and the airplane started having some really bad turbulence, got in trouble, and took a nosedive. During the nosedive, the man sitting next to him starts freaking out. Ah, we're gonna die, we're gonna die, we're gonna die, we're gonna die, we're gonna die. The man looked over at the man and said, shut up, man. I can't die. The guy went. He said, God is not finished with me yet. I'm blessed and I can't die. And if I'm on this plane, it can't crash because I can't die. Airplane taking a nosedive did like this. Leveled off. The dude sitting next to him was like, so who is this God that you serve? Man got saved. A lot of y'all would have been like, ah, we're going to die, we're going to die. You need to change that about yourself. Command those things that are not as though they are. Something's going on around you. Look, man, you can't be confused. I'm with you, so ain't no confusion. Shake your friends. Don't do that.
Thank you for listening to the 1440 podcast. If the Lord has ministered to you in a big way through this time, we want to hear about it. You can email us at testify@1440online.com.